Access number 28650, Mr. Gordon Mellor, Reel 21. Now, what happened when you'd evaded this post, Spanish post, and started, gone over the railway, over the road.
Yes.
And then started to climb the hill. Now, can you tell us, perhaps set the scene and also explain why you were evading the Spanish? Because if you're in Spain, what was the problem? I think I know why, but if you could explain.
Well, yes. We'd got across the frontier, which was the second, which was the centre of the river Bidasoa, and we'd gone up the river banks and got ourselves onto the road. Down on the left-hand side, there was the frontier post, which is also called a customs post. But anyhow, there was some light there, and it wasn't difficult to avoid. Having got across the road one by one, we were then instructed by Florentino to go straight up the hill. And Dady was the last one over. She had been indicating to each of us when we should it was safe to cross. Having got onto this slope, then I found that the only way of getting up was to more or less go on all fours. The grass was quite slippery, so that one had to use one's hand to grab tufts and what have you, whatever was available to prevent slipping back at all. Went up there as fast as possible. It seemed an interminable climb, but eventually it eased out, and the couple of people that went before me were already up there, so I joined them, and we waited for the rest of the party to come, including Florentino. Anyhow, when he did come, we were beginning to get our breath back, and he indicated that we still had a fair way to go. But he then put his hand into a bush, which was quite close by, and produced a bottle of brandy, which he passed around, and we all had a smallish sample, and I presume he then put it back. I didn't see whether whether he did put it back or not, but I imagine it was there on a regular basis. And he then said, "Come on we go." And we formed up into a line, Indian file, and started on the second part of the journey. The thing was that we had avoided any contact with Spanish people down at the border level, so it was now a question of avoiding the any patrols which they had out.
Now, why did you need to avoid? Just so you can explain it.
Although Spain was a neutral country, they, to a certain extent, I think, were a pro-Axis country. And if you got picked up, then you would obviously then be put into a secure place. And it took a long time for the British authorities to get you out. Miranda was a camp which was used very much for this purpose. And I must admit, I don't know anybody in Comet who got picked up. I think they were very careful. But there are stories of people who did not succeed in making a clean break through the Spanish territory. And they were arrested and put into Miranda. And I think later on we passed quite close by in a car. But the only real look to know what it was like was a photograph which I saw in the museum in Brussels many, many years later. And it was a whole series of wooden huts, as far as I could make out, with strong fencing all the way around. Anyhow, we proceeded at a fairly quick pace through the rest of the journey. It was a question largely of rough going on tracks and also up and down, very much as we had done on the approach to the river, up over a ridge and then down, gradually losing height
all
the way.
There's mention of the Trois Couronnes. Is that later?
No, we didn't go up there. We sort of skirted there. It was on the skyline. We could see it, and of course you can see it from Saint-Jean-de-Luz in the daytime. But it's quite a steep and rocky area, and higher than the surrounding ground. As we proceeded down, then the moonlight faded away, and with the temperature dropping, then we started getting mist forming, and eventually there was quite a thick fog all around us. So we were entirely dependent upon Florentino getting us onto the right road each time. I don't know how far we walked, but daylight came, and perhaps we could see 30 or 40 yards ahead. It was quite thick, and we were getting tired, and he encouraged us by saying, oh, only 200 more metres to go. Well, of course, that 200 yard metres was repeated many times. And on subsequent journeys, I believe people stopped off at a place called Serope Farm. But I have no recollection of staying off at this farm at all. I believe we must have bypassed it and pressed on as it was daylight. I suppose in all, by the time we got to down to towards sea level, then we must have done perhaps, 28 miles or something like 40 kilometres. And suddenly we came through the fog, and there was a farmhouse-type building. And we walked into the yard and through a door into the house, which was all nicely warm and bright. I must admit, wherever there was somewhere to sit down, then we plonked ourselves down as soon as we could. Shortly after that, then we were taken into another room, and we were fed. Yes, very nice breakfast. It was at that time then that we were told by Danny Dion that somebody would come and collect us by car, and we were to go with them. But both she and Florentino had other things to attend to while they were there, and they were going to have to go back the following night over the same route, except in reverse. Quite amazing. I mean, we were shattered, and there were those, both of those sort of... especially as Dady was, yes, she was a young woman, 24, 25, I suppose, and she really didn't show much signs of distress at all, whereas, as I said, we were shattered. Anyhow, I must admit that whilst we were waiting for the car, having said goodbye to our leaders, then I lay down on the form. I must have gone to sleep. Anyhow, somebody gave me a shove, and the car was there. And see, was three, four of us. We piled into this vehicle and set off along a level road. Now, I say this in particular because Serope Farm, which other people stopped off at and had a rest there, is way up on the hillside. And there's a very steep road down from it. You couldn't miss remembering it. It's extremely steep for a car to go up and down. Anyhow, we stayed in this car and went into Ronteria.
Now, who was driving you?
I can't tell you.
It's Spaniard.
Yes, as far as I could make out, it was a Spaniard. And in the middle of the town, we stopped. And I think it was, I'm pretty certain it was San Sebastian that we... reached in the car, and he stopped on the inner road with houses and shops and what have you on either side, and he said, there's that doorway over there, go over as quick as you can, one by one, which we did, and immediately there were some stairs up, which we went up to, and there was a Spanish family in the flat, and we went in there and were greeted by them. They were very welcoming, and we were shown into a couple of rooms there, which we were going to share. Yes, I think Mike and I shared a room, and had an opportunity to get a wash and rest. During the day, we had another meal, and they had a young son with them. I suppose he must have been, 9 or 10, and maybe a little younger. And we all sat down to lunch, and the father said that the boy had a large appetite. He certainly did. He ate the rest, more than I think any of us did. He was growing up. And so we had a quiet time there and stayed overnight. I have a feeling we had a visitor during the afternoon from the consul in Bilbao. And he said that we would be moving out on the next day, and that he would come by with a car, and we should then proceed down to Madrid.
This is a British consul in Bilbao.
Yes. Oh, yes. And true to our expectations, he eventually turned up in the following day, and we said goodbye to our Spanish hosts, who were charming people and very helpful. And we piled into the car, and it was either consulate car or embassy car, whichever, but we had a chauffeur, and let's see, there's Alexis, the Russian, Mike. The Canadian, Kropf, and myself. So, you know, it was a car carried six people, including the driver. And we set off. I can't tell you exactly the route we went, but we went west to start with, towards Bilbao, and then we turned south. And we passed through typical Spanish countryside and towns. We saw flocks of sheep being driven along the road, and there was perhaps one man or two men in charge, and it was explained to us that they were taking their flock wherever they were going, and it was their sole income, the product they got for their flock of sheep. They appear to be in a very poor level of living, being on the road practically all the time, and grazing wherever there was suitable grass available. It got dark, and we went through the last few towns in darkness with the headlights on, and eventually we ran into Madrid. This would be, early evening, I suppose, 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening. And suddenly we were facing some big doors, and these were opened up. And we drove into this property, which had a big yard and other buildings besides the main house. This proved to be the British Embassy in the centre of Madrid. I think we were just allocated places to sleep, and we had some food, I imagine.
How did they receive you? I mean, were you interviewed or anything?
Well, not then. We sort of had a night to rest, and we were seen by the air attaché the following morning. We didn't see the British ambassador. I think it was Sir Samuel Hoare at that time. We didn't see him. We just saw the air attaché.
And what did he do? Was he interviewing you? Yes,
he talked to us. It was quite a friendly sort of welcome sort of. There was no interrogation. He just wanted to know where we'd come from, and how long we've been away, and just generalisation matters. And he said, "Oh well, we shall have to make some arrangements for you. You stay here for the time being."